that's often left untold this time of year. It belongs up there with the shepherds and the wise men and the manger and the angels. But it's almost never depicted on Christmas cards or put into song, carol, or poem. It's the account of Simeon at the temple in Jerusalem. Simeon was a righteous man and a faithful man, a prophet of God. God had told Simeon that something he desperately wanted, something very important, not just to him but to everyone, was about to happen. And it was going to happen before he died. And Simeon believed God with all of his heart. Simeon was told what God was going to do for the world. But God didn't tell him when he was going to do it. So Simeon got up every day, walked to the temple, and waited. When it didn't occur on that day, he went home. We'll catch that with Silent Night. He went home, went to bed, got up the next day, and went to the temple again and waited, day after day, week after week, year after year. For Simeon, the passing of days didn't quench the fire of his faith, they fueled it. As each day that passed only meant he was one day closer to seeing the promise fulfilled. See, it's not that Simeon believed that he would not die before the promise came, it's that Simeon knew he could not die before the promise came, because God said so. This was the faith of Simeon. Now this left Simeon a bit of a quandary. He wanted to see the promise of the Lord, but he was old. As some of us are keenly aware, age is sort of God's way of preparing us for death. If you live long enough, the physical burdens of age will prepare you mentally for your swim across that river. Like Simeon, you will eventually want to get into the water. And that's exactly where Simeon was. He was ready. So when we encounter Simeon, he's at this point in his life. The only thing that he's living for is to see the word of God fulfilled. His bags are packed, his ticket is bought, he's all dressed up and ready to go, but the train hasn't pulled into the station yet. So every day, Simeon goes down to the station and strains his age-weakened eyes as far down the track as he could possibly see. And he never grows tired of the wait, because he knows that what's coming is worth waiting for. This would be like a parent telling a child on January 1st about Christmas for the first time, and the special gift they'll get on that day when it comes, then putting up a tree to put the gift under, but not telling the child what day Christmas falls on. Every day the child would get up and run to the living room and look under the tree for a promised present. For him, the present would make the day, and the day wouldn't make the present. It is Christmas because we received the present. We don't receive presents because it's Christmas. The frustration of another day passing without fulfillment would be tempered by the knowledge that he was one day closer to the gift that was promised. The inevitable grew closer with each passing day, and the knowledge that the gift would be exactly what he wanted and needed kept his interest strong and his focus sharp. It would be worth the wait. Such was Simeon, a righteous and wise old man who waited patiently every day for the first Christmas to come, without even knowing what Christmas was. Then one day, he ran downstairs, looked under the tree, and there it was, the gift of gifts, his literal reason for living. Luke 2:21-24. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angels before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. 4 very important events are noted in these 4 verses as being a part of the account of the first Christmas. In the order of their mention, first, Jesus is officially named. Joseph and Mary follow the instructions of the angel and name the child Jesus, a name that had no connection to either of their families, because they would not define who this child was going to be. God would. This is the same thing that happened to John the Baptist when he was born and he was named. God chose the name. Now in Hebrew, the name for Jesus is Yeshua, which means he saves. Now the second event is Jesus is circumcised. Genesis 17:12 says, every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. They adhere to the law. Using December 25th as Jesus' birthday, This would have been on January 2nd. Happy Circumcision Day. Not sure what gift you give for this. Percocet? I don't know. We usually don't have an ornament on our tree depicting this, nor do we send cards that have a picture of it. But it's a part of the first Christmas. 8 days. This is done according to the law that Jesus himself had authored. It also makes him, ritualistically, a Jew. And the Messiah must be a Jew. He is in no need of purification in and of himself, but he bears the sins of this world from his birth. Third, an offering for purification by Mary. This would have occurred on February 2nd, 41 days after giving birth to a male child. The day after, 7 days of being considered unclean and 33 days of purification, twice as long if you have a female child, the mother was to bring purification offering to the temple in Jerusalem. The offering was to be one lamb as a burnt offering and one dove or a pigeon as a sin offering. Unless they were poor, then another dove or a pigeon could be substituted for the lamb. So from what we read, that we know that Joseph and Mary were poor because all they had were pigeons or doves. Fourth, Jesus is dedicated to the Lord and then redeemed. According to the law, every firstborn male child was to be dedicated to the Lord. He belonged to God, not just sons, but also the animals. Any firstborn male animal belonged to God. The firstborn males were the heirs and received a double inheritance, and they were to be the priests of the family once the father passed on. The firstborn male was to be redeemed by the family, bought back from God at the temple for a symbolic payment of 5 shekels, which would be around $4. What you're doing is you're making note that this belongs to God. He's giving it back to me. So all this takes place within the first 40 days of Jesus' birth, which makes it part of the Christmas story. All this occurs between the time when the shepherds were sent to him on the night when he was born, when they said, born this day in the city of David, and when the wise men are believed to have arrived sometime after this dedication at the temple, and sometime before he was 2 years old. This is Jesus' first public appearance. His first time in the house of the Lord, his arrival does not go unnoticed by those who have been earnestly waiting for him. They know full well the value of the gift that has just been carried through their door. Luke 2:25-32. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, for the redemption of his nation. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Let me understand this. You know how we talk about people being possessed by demons or devils? What this is saying is he was possessed by God. Isaiah 25:9 says, and it shall be said in that day, behold, this is our God for whom we have waited, that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Isaiah talked about Simeon centuries before. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your words. He held Jesus in his arm and said, now I can die. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people. And don't lose sight of the weight of that word all, because this includes us. That's why we sit here and celebrate Christmas. The light of revelation to the Gentiles, to us, and the glory of your people, Israel. What the angel proclaimed privately in the fields to the shepherds was being publicly repeated by the prophet Simeon in the temple in Jerusalem 41 days later, so that everyone know that the gift of God had arrived. Christmas had come. Then one of the most touching verses in Scripture, we're told that Simeon got to hold his salvation in his arms and gaze into the eyes of God, the God who would save him 33 years later. Simeon was the first man who had a complete and full understanding of exactly who Jesus was, who this child was, that he held in his arms, who understood what God placed under his tree. Never again would any Christmas present be held with such rapture and joy. Never again would any soul be shaken so deep with appreciation as Simeon's was that day as he held the gift that he has been promised. But Simeon wasn't alone. There was another in the temple who waited in the same way for the same gift. She was the second witness that Scripture demands for a testimony to be considered true. And there was a 36 through 38, and there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, when Simeon had made his proclamation, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him, of Jesus, to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Two godly and wise witnesses, both of whom were beyond reproach and well respected by all men, proclaimed the arrival of Christmas, the day they had dedicated their lives to, the thing that they were waiting for. When they first see Jesus in the temple 40 days after his birth, they know that the day is here because they can plainly see the value of the gift. Simeon proclaimed to all of us why this gift is so valuable, calling Jesus a light of revelation to the Gentiles and a glory to your people Israel, coming to save everybody. Simeon had seen all that he desired to see here. He found what he was looking and waiting for. Now he could go to his rest and wait to see Jesus again in 33 years, after his crucifixion, when Jesus triumphantly enters into the bosom of Abraham as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and frees him for all of eternity. Fortunately, Simeon knows how to wait. Now in my mind, if you'll give me a little liberty, I imagine Jesus looking out over that vast crowd of souls in the bosom of Abraham, the ones who had been waiting for him to come. And I can imagine that for a moment his eye catches the now clear and focused eyes of Simeon. And they exchange a knowing gaze and a warm smile of recognition. Simeon silently nods his head in approval to Jesus, and Jesus returns to Simeon a wink of amity and shared understanding, a gesture of acceptance and approval. And he looks at Simeon and says, "Well done, Simeon. Well done. Now I hold you with joy." As we see here tonight, we have the same opportunity of faith that Simeon had. As we wait for our coming promise, the gift we're destined for. You see, brothers and sisters, it's not over yet. There's more to come. Get up every morning like a child on Christmas morning. Go to the window and look to the east for the same thing I told you to look for last Christmas Eve. And I will continue to tell you to look for it until it comes or until I go. Revelations 9:11 through 16. Wait for this. "And I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and his head are many diadems. And his name is written on him, which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that he may strike down the nations, and he may rule them with an iron rod. And he treads the winepress of fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." That's who lays in the manger. If you use your faith for nothing else this Christmas, use it for this. Because no matter what you get this year, the best is yet to come. And it is worth waiting for. Now tonight, I ask you to pray for those who can't be home for Christmas because they're protecting us from us. Pray for those of us who came home with less than they left with, those who will pay the price every day with body or mind for serving us, and will continue to do so until Jesus calls them home and wipes away their tears. Pray for those of us who have lost someone so precious to them that the joy of this day is muted by that loss. Pray they find the abiding joy in what is to come. The day when we are all finally and truly home for Christmas. The day when Jesus looks under his tree and finds what he has been waiting for. All of us together, forever with him. That's worth the wait. Merry Christmas and a blessed new year. Amen.